Minnesota Reads on KUMD is supported by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. We are so thrilled to have on the line with us this morning James Bird. His new book, The Brave, has got critics and audiences buzzing all over the country. As a matter of fact, the second edition of this book is coming out next week. If you have a first edition, it may be worth something because there are very few of them left. James Bird joins us on the line this morning. Hi, James. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
So you have said in an interview that your character, Colin, who is the protagonist of your middle school book, The Brave, has the Minnesota childhood that you kind of wanted to have. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
My whole family is from Minnesota. We're Ojibwe. They're from the Grand Portage Reservation, but they all grew up and lived in Duluth. And but me, I was born, I never met my dad. My mom met a guy and he took her out to California, and she got knocked up and he left. So I kind of grew up in, well, not kind of, I did grow up, I was born and raised in Los Angeles, California. And I was kind of, you know, deprived of that Minnesota upbringing that I feel like I should have had. So in my book, I kind of got to right the wrong in my head a little bit.
And of course, authors can always spell that either R-I-G-H-T or W-R-I-T-E, the wrong.
That's right.
James, because you grew up in California, though, you made, and I say this dripping sarcasm, you made the best of a bad situation. You're a highly acclaimed writer and screenwriter, and you've got a lot of wonderful credits under your belt. How was it having your own child that made you start thinking about writing books for younger people, or was it as big a leap from going from directing and screenwriting to writing a book as it might seem to a layperson?
Yeah, I feel like I always wanted to kind of write for kids. Even the movies, even if they're not like geared towards a kid's audience, my whole goal was to inspire kids because, you know, growing up, movies and music and movies, like actors, they all played a huge part in my upbringing. You know, I didn't have a father figure, so a lot of the actors in the movies, my mom would just point to the screen and say, "That's your real dad. That's your real dad." You know, so I kind of grew up having Tom Hanks and Denzel Washington as my dad. You know, Freddy Krueger was my dad.
Oh,
yeah.
That might have been a questionable choice on your mother's part, but I don't want to judge. But Tom Hanks is a dad. Denzel Washington is. She did pick some cool imaginary dads for you.
Yeah, and Freddy Krueger taught me to, you know, never give up.
Excellent point. Exactly. So let's talk about this book. This book is just remarkable. You really have kind of piled on the challenges, though, for our hero, Colin. Talk about Colin a little bit and who Colin is when we first meet him and what some of the challenges are that he's facing, because he really has a stack of them on his plate.
Yeah, so Colin, he's half white, half Ojibwe, just like me. He learns a lot differently from all the other kids, just like how I did. You know, teachers had no idea what to do with me. And Colin, he is bullied constantly because he has a condition where if someone speaks to him, he counts all the letters up in his head from whatever is spoken and has to relay that number out loud to the person. So it kind of drives people crazy, even though it might sound cool or fascinating in the first couple minutes, but it gets really annoying really quick. And I wanted to show that in the light of, like, in the first part of the book, when he's in California, how it's a problem and how, you know, bullies, he's a target. But when he moves to Minnesota and connects with his tribe and meets new people, it's more of a, you know, of a gift. And he doesn't know it yet, but it's the story. He's unwrapping that gift slowly and finding out that being different is actually awesome.
Now, looking at it from the outside and from the standpoint of a white person who is learning every day how much privilege I enjoy in this environment, you would think that one of the things that would add to Colin's burdens when he came home was the fact that he was Native. And you referenced in another interview that your mother was not in a big, you know, was really not committed to staying in Minnesota because she experienced a lot of racism here and she was ready to leave.
Yeah. Her family, she came from a really big family, and they were kind of pretty famous in Duluth, actually, because they constantly fought. They got in fights nonstop. And they were the Hagedorns and the Tebow family. And my mom was excited to leave. She got kicked out of high school in 10th grade just for being Native American. Like, it was a whole different time. So, you know, in a weird way, so she left high school in Duluth in 10th grade. And what I did is I grew up in California, and in 10th grade, I quit high school in California and moved to Minnesota to Duluth and started school in 10th grade in Duluth.
Really?
So I kind of tried to fill that gap for my mom. It was something I always wanted to do.
I'm fascinated by that. I'm fascinated by the way that we love our parents and the things that we think we can do to fix the things that we know have hurt them. Do you think that that decision in retrospect, do you think that that decision did heal something perhaps for both of you?
Well, I feel like she really liked the fact that I fell in love with Duluth and I met a bunch of family there and kind of gave her the sense that Duluth is different, you know, now, because, you know, at that time she had a pretty bad experience. So now she really loves the idea of one day returning to Duluth. She always says she loved the place so much, just not the people around her, you know? So I'm really excited for when this pandemic is over for me to take my mom to Duluth, spend some time there, go to our reservation and spend some time there with her. Like, that's one of my a goal that I really look forward to.
Boy, there are sure a lot of people that would love to meet her and apologize and try to make sure that she has a really, really wonderful time here.
Yeah.
I'm curious, as a director, Colin, is it identified that Colin has OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, or is it, is it spelled out that way to your middle school audience in The Brave?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because it does exist. It's an actual condition that does exist, but a lot of people lump it into OCD. So I think the accepted term would be OCD right now, but it is its own thing. It is a condition. It's a rare condition, but I've met two people with it so far in my life, which is crazy.
I'm curious, as a director, I'm a person, too, who's very open with my mental health struggles with depression, and I understand why directors would choose to use some of these conditions, because there's no doubt about it that taking a person who comes from perhaps a not healthy perspective until you learn to manage a disorder. Taking a person with a different kind of disorder that you don't encounter every day, you can craft a fascinating character. But as an author and as a person who perhaps struggles with similar issues, you also want to be scrupulously honest about it, and you don't want to add to stigma or mythology around a condition. What did you feel your responsibilities were toward Colin as you wrote his story to communicate it to people who may not understand it?
Yeah, you see, the greatest thing is, like, I'm so lucky because I know my audience is kids, and kids are so much more accepting than adults. You know, kids take everything on face value. They don't have this jaded perspective or bias yet. Kids are so honest that all I have to do is throw a situation at the wall, and the kids will pick it apart. The kids will decide what it is. So I think the more, you know, issues, conditions, problems, or perspectives that we throw at kids, the better, because they're so much smarter than we give them credit for. And they will be able to, you know, come at learning about these things with compassion and with, like, understanding. And, you know, and a lot of these kids can relate to it. So the cool thing about that is, as an author or director, I didn't really have to sit in any of those chairs, because since my audience is kids, I can just give it to them and they'll take it and they'll break it apart and they'll, you know, they'll understand it way better than adults. Adults will be, like, you know, trying to come at it with, like, a judgment or have a preconceived notion on it, or is it being respectful or not? Like, a kid will just take it for what it is right away.
Here's this kid. That. Here's how he operates. Next. Next.
Yeah.
And we move on from there.
Right away. Yeah.
Have you been able to parse yet the thing that I don't understand? Because I have seen the way that kids do that. And I have seen that the way that you present information to kids, they suddenly turn and they embrace. If somebody is vulnerable, or if you present that someone's vulnerable, or even that they're uncomfortable, they feel that they might be self-conscious about something. There's a part of kids that wants to just reach out and embrace them and embrace their differences. But these are also similar kids were bullying poor Colin back in California. Mm-hmm. So how do we as adults help kids pick those two conflicting impulses apart?
Yeah, so every bully, and I've known a lot of bullies and have come across bullies, every bully that bullies someone in school, chances are that bully is getting bullied at home, you know? So it's a way of lashing out and a way of coping, you know? So I like to give the perspective, like, in my book, yeah, there's bullies, but he actually gets to outsmart the bully, and the bully gets to learn a lesson through the book too. I just don't make them, you know, villains. You know, the bullies have a role to play in growing as well. And I think that, you know, the kids, like, if you get bullied, my growing up, my mom taught me right away, if anyone tries to bully you, you punch them, you know, you fight back right away. And I know a lot of people that say, like, oh, fighting isn't the answer and all that. But how I grew up, that definitely solved bullying. And in my book, I wanted to do a bunch of things. Like, he does get bullied. He did punch the bully back in the beginning. It caused a little bit more problems. He felt good about it a little bit because it was the first time he stuck up for himself. But as the book unfolds and as we learn and grow, Colin finds a new way to combat against the bullies. And so I want kids to actually see that there's many options of how to face a bully. And you could be clever and smart about it.
I love Maya Angelou's phrase, when we know better, we do better. Because that's kind of the journey of adulthood, I think, is learning new things about people and situations and trying to correct your course and do things a little bit differently. You shared with me over the phone a moment ago before we went on the air that your little son has just exploded with language. Do you have a new book already on the burner, or do you feel that just watching him and delighting in him is going to trigger the next new book?
Yeah, so actually, I'm basically the stay-home dad. My wife, Wolf's mom, is an author too, and so she writes nonstop. I only write when the baby visits grandma in Connecticut. So I write maybe 1 week a month. And I already, since this, you know, since I only have 1 week to write, I write, you know, basically for 18 hours a day. So I wrote book two already. Book two comes out. I'm doing a cover reveal for that pretty soon. And that's called The Chief and the Thief. And that comes out at the end of the year. And I finished book three and four. And they're all in the same universe as The Brave. They all end up going to school together, and they all are in the same, you know, North Duluth Middle School.
So this is a book about it's becoming a series about a group of friends.
Yeah, they just don't know they're friends yet.
Oh, I love those. I love books like that. I love when a character who's perhaps peripheral in one book, you suddenly get to dive in and get all of their backstory in another book. And then you see, as you read, how all of the pieces and the people fit together. How marvelous.
Yeah. So they all experience like the same event at school, but from different perspectives. And they all kind of like, I think in book two, Colin and the main and the new protagonist walk through the hall and bump each other, you know, in the hallway.
Oh, fantastic. And I would imagine that as a director, it's so much fun to read when you imagine how the characters look and you imagine the thing like a little movie going on in your brain. And as a director, I bet your movies are even better.
Yeah, I've directed these books in my head. Like, I'm already on like season six.
Oh, golly. And it's such a shame because you have to come to them once a month. You can't just binge watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
James, I sure hope that you're able to get back soon and bring your mom. I can imagine that your family would love, love, love to see you. And it would be such a wonderful treat for your community to welcome your mom back and show her that we know better and we're doing better. I'd love it if that could be her experience.
Yeah, she's really excited to go to Inger Tower again. She used to play on Inger Tower.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, James, for taking some time to talk with us this morning. And let us know, because maybe if we can get something arranged at the time when you're here, it'd be great to have you come into our studios as a guest.
Yeah, I would love that. I'll bring my mama.
Do that. James, thanks again for being our guest this morning.
Yeah, thank you. This is super fun.
James Bird is a director, a screenwriter, and a new author. His book is called The Brave, and the second edition is coming out shortly. Minnesota Reads on KUMD is supported by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.